Welcome to the Sun City News. My name is Vicki Duke, and I'm your volunteer broadcaster, bringing to you the news from the Sun City Independent, and I am coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. Starting with the front page, Sun City Farmers Market offers food, crafts, and community. By Zev Black. Todd Levitin, who runs the Lasagna and More stand at the Sun City Farmers Market, spent most of his day January 15th chatting with market goers, saying it's nice to get out and about in the area. The Arizona Community Farmers Market hosts a weekly market, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Thursday in the parking lot of the Bell Rec Center. The recent market had a variety of vendors, including bread makers, meal options, fresh produce, sandal makers, and CBD products. There was also representation from Sun City clubs, like the Sun City Clay Club. What this market, it is more a producer's market. Charles Windsor, market manager for Sun City and Verado, said it's not third party. You can't buy something from Overstock.com, come out here and sell it. Anna Carl, who finds herself at the market once a month, goes for the crafts. I just think the people are friendly and very talented. Lasagna and More is an Italian food stand specializing in frozen meals. Every pasta dish is frozen to give buyers a fresh taste when it comes out of the oven. When you take one of our products home, whether it be lasagna, manicotti, or one of our penne dishes, you're cooking a fresh restaurant meal, Levitin said. The pastas are being cooked for the first time, and the cheeses are being melted for the first time. It's a true restaurant experience. Levitin's favorite dish is their Southwest lasagna with sliced sausage link, roasted Anaheim chilies, and cheddar cheese. He says that the crowd favorite is the original two-meat lasagna. It's perfect for the retiree crowd, he added. Most of these people have felt like they've cooked enough in their life. They don't want to cook anymore. It's just a fun market in terms of the clientele and getting to meet the retirees in the area. In addition to the Sun City Farmers Market, Lasagna and More sells at the Sun City West Market, which on Fridays, which is at 13724 West Meeker Boulevard. Cheryl Price went to the market to buy sourdough bread, but said she might end up bringing more home with her. I like to look around, she said. I might get coffee. There's more vendors here. You have a variety. She said she only goes to the Sun City Farmers Market once every couple of months, but enjoys it. When asked about his favorite part of the market, Assistant Market Manager Joe Lasswell answered quickly by saying, the people. We have a lot of repeat customers, which is nice to see, he said. They come up and they're friendly. It's a real community vibe at this one. The market has been in Sun City since 2013. Windsor said he is hoping to expand into the next row of parking spaces in the near future adding he'd like to bring live music in to really bring the market to life. Those looking to set up shop at the Sun City Market must fill out an application letting organizers know what they sell. There is a $100 fee for all vendors, and they aren't allowed to sell something the clubs are selling. To learn more about the Arizona Community Farmers Market, go to Arizona Community Farmers Markets, ETS.com. And that's the end of that article. Next, Mountain View Renovation Project Advances by Zev Black. The RCSC hosted another town hall January 13th in the Sundial Auditorium to discuss the Mountain View renovation project. Individuals from the design firm TriArch and Last Architects were in attendance to present on the project. Late last year, the RCSC board decided to move forward with what is being called Option 3. This combines everything Sun City residents want to see into one option. The budget on the project remains at $28 million. The total cost for the project under this option is estimated to be $32,696,901. However, there are two sub-options that can cut costs to $30 million. Each of these cost reduction options comes with trade-offs. Brad Lang, co-founding principal of Last Architects, said, "Some things go away and some things get smaller. The easiest way to have an impact on cost is to reduce scope." According to Lang, Option 3B, which costs a little more than $29 million, is the choice with the most bang for your buck. Option 3A would cost just over $28 million. "For $1 million, you get a lot of what you want back," he said. "You get a lot of what the community has asked us to provide back." He added that it is a hybrid approach where the wish list of tearing smaller elements of Mountain View down is replaced with renovations while still understanding what needs to be torn down and replaced. For example, Lang said the aquatics locker room is tied up with multiple code and functional issues and would be very difficult to renovate while still making it enjoyable for people. A big discussion during the meeting was whether the community theater would have retractable or fixed seating, according to Eric Sterner, co-founding principal of Last Architects. Fixed seating has a lot more room for customization, while retractable allows for more flexibility. We want to look at it through those lenses so to find if it is best future-oriented flexibility option for the community. How can we design the right size solution for this community and then at the same time to be comfortable day to day? Fixed seating would cost an estimated $408,000, while retractable would be $1,003,000. Those at Last Architects recommend fixed seating because of the lower cost and because it provides quiet, stable, and comfortable seating. We lose out of that flexibility, but what we gain is the predictable operation and cost for the community. Stirner said, we know what that upfront cost is. We can contain the overall net present value. A concern raised during the meeting is the parking situation. However, Lang said this is not a concern. Parking from a code point of view is not a concern. There is enough parking to support a performing arts center and all of the other things that are being asked for at Mountain View. We have the opportunity now to design the layouts of the existing parking to make sure that ADA plus is met and that we have appropriate ADA parking spaces at appropriate entry points throughout the facility. RCSC President Tom Foster emphasized the importance of relying on the paid professionals for this project. We hired these guys as experts in this field to check these things out for us, he said. While we want to hear your inputs and opinions, we do need to put some consideration and faith in the experts here as to what they've found, talking to our residents and their experts as to what can be done or not done safely in the current facilities. This project has been in the works for more than a decade. It appears 2026 may be the year the renovations actually get underway. We're hoping to get some progress on choosing one of those alternatives that were discussed today at the next board meeting, Foster said. Once the contractor is selected and the board chooses whoever that firm is, then bring your shovel. We are frankly hoping to do that this calendar year, that there will be shovels in the ground before we close 2026. The next RCSC board meeting is at 9 a.m. January 29th in the Sundial Auditorium. And again, this article was by Zeb Black. Next, the Duffy Land Dog Park issues highlight RCSC exchange meeting by Zev Black. The RCSC hosted its monthly exchange meeting January 12th to allow residents to voice their questions, comments, or concerns with the board. Multiple Sun City residents who utilize the Duffy Land Dog Park frequently spoke to the board regarding a myriad of issues, including free running water, where dead trees and bushes used to be. Resident Evie Webb Swope said this leaves puddles throughout the park. She says she has a 90-pound black and white Australian Shepherd, and other people have no idea what fun it is to go home and follow him the round with a broom and shovel. She conceded that is her problem and not the board's. However, while her dog isn't the board's issue, the wasted water is. This is wasteful. In a state that has problems with drought and having sufficient water, to have free running water doesn't make any sense. This needs to be taken care of. She went on to say that there is a concrete table that is surrounded by what she called police tape. There is a major crack in the table, which has been there for months. Tom Foster, RCSC president, as you said earlier, this community needs to stand and have standards that make future generations want to come here, rather than looking seedy. Webb Swope said, whether it's the dog park or a golf course or what have you, we need to spruce things up. Steve Collins, who recently ended his term on the RCSC board, but is still part of the club's office committee, said they haven't received any complaints about the dog park. Other residents called for RCSC and the Sun City Homeowners Association, along with other community partners, to do a better job at communicating with the residents so they can have a better understanding of the rules and regulations. Treasurer Rick Gray conceded that in the past, the RCSC has not been focused on the other organizations in Sun City. He added, however, that the current board, and specifically Vice President Chris Nedersheim, has been working with SCHOA and COA of Sun City. I just want to assure you, we are working on that with our other groups, he said. It's just that you can't snap your fingers. It takes time, and it takes a certain amount of continued enforcement of that information. SCHOA President Ed Van Ness was in attendance and was able to speak to the topic. We have made major steps in communicating with each other, working together as a cohesive unit, which we have never done in the history of Sun City until this past year, he said. You gotta give us time to move forward to get a plan in place where we can come to you guys and explain what we're doing together. The next board meeting will be at 9 a.m. Thursday, January 29th in the Sundial Auditorium. Church celebrates anniversary with a concert. Organist Dan Miller will present a concert at 2 p.m. Tuesday, February 3rd to celebrate Willowbrook United Methodist Church's 50th anniversary. The event is free and open to the public. A free will offering will be available. A reception hosted by the Chancel Choir and First Tuesday at noon will follow in Wilson Fellowship Hall. Miller's program will include Great is Thy Faithfulness, In the Garden, and Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. The keyboard artist, composer, and arranger played musical pieces at the special dedication service for the church's Rogers Digital Organ in February of 2000. A church organist since age 15, Miller is the organist for St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Beaverton, Oregon, and an adjunct professor of organ at George Fox University in Newburgh, Oregon. For more information about Dan Miller and to order CDs and sheet music, visit danmillermusic.com. And for more information about the concert or Willowbrook's 50th anniversary events and to RSVP, call 623-466-5067. And that's the end of that piece. Next, Cardiac Solutions cardiologist completes the first Medtronic Simplicity procedure in the Banner Health Network. Patient's blood pressure is always being treated after this procedure by Jennifer Jimenez. Cardiac Solutions cardiologist Dr. Pranav Patel completed the first case with the Simplicity Spiral Renal Denervation System in the Banner Health Network. Patel said medical professionals already know, after so many studies and all the things done in the past, that hypertension that's uncontrolled typically leads to other cardiovascular events. We want to be able to try to minimize big things like heart attacks and strokes, he said. Lifestyle, he said, is a central part of everything in cardiology, but also works with hypertension or blood pressure, said Patel. Medications by themselves is all that doctors have really had, according to Patel. However, patients can get up to the maximum doses and become intolerant to those medicines. Then, he said, three or four other medications are added, which are costly. Patel said compliance also becomes a challenge because it is difficult to remember if the correct amount of medicines were taken on the correct day. The nice thing about what we have now with this new procedure is attacking the uncontrolled hypertension from a whole different angle. And there's definitely a lot of different benefits to it, said Patel. This procedure is centered around the concepts that there are sympathetic nerves that are on the outside of the kidney arteries that are responsible for raising blood pressure, he explained. The message people need to understand is doctors can potentially titrate down medications, including the dosages, and have lower interactions between medicines or forget to take the medicine. Laurie Duval, Cardiac Solutions Chief Executive Officer, said always having therapy on board with the patient provides a nice baseline to start with. We are not saying you do this procedure and you were on four medications and now you'll be on none, she said. Patel said patients are essentially reducing the risk of having a future heart attack or stroke. He said the procedure is easy and patients are screened on the front end and the external stuff is ruled out. Patients have to be on 3 to 4 medications for high blood pressure for at least 6 months, and their blood pressure is still running between 150 to 160. This is an outpatient procedure done in a hospital setting, and patients go through about a 75-minute procedure, then into recovery for a couple of hours, and then home, all in the same day. I think we are going to see patients drastically coming down from their medicines, maybe being on just one instead of a couple, said Duval. Patel said, since the aging process cannot be reversed, individuals can focus on the things they can do, such as improving lifestyle, which can carry stress. A lack of exercise and diet also play a role, according to Patel. He said, long-term studies show for every 5 points that an individual's blood pressure is above the normal goal, it is a 10% increase to events such as strokes and heart attacks. Patel said these are important numbers, and that's uncontrolled blood pressure. Adding cardiovascular disease is the number one reason for people dying. And this article, again, is by Jennifer Jimenez. And to finish off the show for today, let's have one reader's letter. Lawmakers can help pharmacists better serve patients. J. January 12th was National Pharmacist Day, a time to thank pharmacists for the contributions they make in healthcare. It also marks the beginning of the 2026 Arizona legislative session. I'm proud to join the Arizona Pharmacy Association in asking legislators to support bills that would modernize practice laws so pharmacists can better serve patients. As a registered pharmacist of over 25 years, I know the impact pharmacists can have in the lives of Arizona patients, but state laws could allow us to do more. I became a pharmacist so I could help patients. The legislation would allow pharmacists to use the entirety of their education and training while also giving patients more choices on where they want to go for care. By removing unnecessary regulations, would allow pharmacists in Arizona to test for common viruses such as strep throat, the flu, COVID-19, and provide widely accepted treatments. And this letter is by Kim Patel, who owns Right Way Pharmacy in Sun City. Thank you for listening to my show, The Sun City News. Again, my name is Vicki Duke, and I am coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.